Welcome to Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. Of course, you can find out more about us on our website. Our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. And we are open for services tomorrow at 10:45 a.m. Our address is 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord, North Carolina. If you don't feel comfortable, now we do take the temperatures at the door and offer face masks and stuff, but if you don't feel comfortable, please join us for live stream on Facebook. We live stream at 10:45. You can find us on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. Now, in this message, the pastor is going to talk about what to do with your life, but not just your life, what to do with your spiritual life. And his message is going to be about Paul. Well, he used to be Saul and he became Paul. Remember the Paul on the road to Damascus when he saw Jesus and his whole life went from persecuting Christians to defending Christians and preaching for Christians? His whole life changed. Well, I've been reading about another Saul in the Bible, and I've got 10 things that I learned from DTBM, how discoverthebook.org online. And I've been studying about Saul, the King Saul from the Old Testament. He started off very good, but the end of his life just went downhill rapidly. So before we get into Pastor James Strickland's message about what to do with your spiritual life, here are 10 ways not to serve God. Before we get into this, here's 10 ways not to serve God. Way number one, not to serve God. Ignore clear and direct statements about what God wants you to do. The Bible's pretty clear about what God wants you to do and not do, but if you ignore clear and direct statements about that, well, obviously that's not how you serve God. Number two, pick and choose what God clearly tells you to do so that you can offer God, you know, selective and partial obedience. You can pick and choose, you know, I like this, but I don't like that. That's another way of how not to serve God. Number three, hold on to the best and nicest parts of what God hates and ask you to destroy, and you keep them for yourself for your own use. You know, I can agree with this sin, and I can agree with that sin, God. I know it's bad. I don't want to do it. But, you know, this sin, I like this sin. I want to keep this sin. No. Number four, only give God what you don't want anyway and is worthless to you. Now, Malachi talks about that in the Bible. The whole book of Malachi is about people that just bring the worthless. What's ever left over? Oh, whatever's left. It doesn't cost you a thing. Whatever's left over. And that goes with your time. That goes with your energy. I'm so tired. Now I'll go spend time with God. No. How about this? Number five, honor yourself before others and remind people of your accomplishments instead of honoring the Lord. That's another way of now how not to serve God. How not to serve God. Number six, be deceptive about what the true condition of your spiritual life and make false claims about your dedication to God. Now, a lot of people do that when they sing hymnals. All to Jesus I surrender, I surrender. And you don't surrender anything. You just stand there and you act like a Christian. You're lying when you say it. I don't know. Oh, that's this mad. Here we go. Blame others for your own personal failures. There's one of how not to serve God. So many people, well, they did this and they did that. That's how not to serve God. Here, another way of how not to serve God, experience God secondhand and through others, not firsthand and personally. You know, you experience God through the books and the videos and the YouTube videos and through the sermons and through other people, but you don't actually have that one-on-one experience with God where you make him your personal savior. Number nine of how not to serve God, cultivate an exaggerated view of your own importance. Now, in 1 Samuel, King Saul, he made a whole monument to himself. He said, look what I've done. I've served God. Just look. He just cultivated this view of his own importance. Now, that's how you don't serve God. And number 10 of how you do not serve God, do your own thing, even when God's word tells you explicitly not to. Well, we're going to get into Pastor James Strickland. He's going to talk about what to do with your spiritual life. Again, you can find us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Also, you can watch us live stream on Facebook at 10:45. Sharon Baptist Concord.
Have you ever wondered? I'm sure most of us here have, because most of us are probably middle-aged or a little older. What do you do with your life? Most of us have already determined a long time ago about what we would do with our secular life. But I'm talking about what do you do with your spiritual life. That's what I want to center our attention on today. If you'll look with me in your scripture, if you need to, you may have memorized this verse, but it's in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where the Apostle Paul writes, and Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. That passage will tell you what to do with your life. You know, today we're hearing a lot about what to do with your life, but you're hearing it from a standpoint of this. It's all about self. Self-realization, self-importance, self-satisfaction. This described Paul's life when he was Saul of Tarsus. It was all about self then to Saul, who was a profaner of Jesus Christ, who was a persecutor of the church and of Christianity. That all spoke about Paul's life before he came to know the Lord Jesus. Nobody was probably more anti-Christ or anti-church than was Saul of Tarsus. But then he met Jesus and came alive, he said, and then he knew what he was to do with his life. Saul died on the road to Damascus, but Paul came alive in Christ. What did Paul then do with his newfound faith, his newfound life in Christ Jesus? What did you do? Or let me say it like this. What should you have done when you came from being dead in sin and trespasses to be made alive in Christ? What did you do with your life from that point until this day? Or what should you have done with your life? There's more than one, but I'm thinking of, and I won't call any names, but you'll know who I'm talking about. You can kind of program that for yourself. There's a well-known evangelist today who's attempting to preach and give all kinds of recipes, all kinds of courses, all kinds of advice on self-fulfillment. It all sounds good, but it's not biblical. It's not according to the Word of God. Even many modern-day preachers are preaching the fact that if you'll just give your life to Jesus, that you'll have a good life and a happy life. That all sounds good too, but it's just not true, is it? All my life since I have become a Christian has not been a good life. I've had some hard times. I've not always been happy. And beloved, by the way, just think about it now. It's not all about you being happy. If you ain't happy, nobody's happy around you. That's not the way to live. That's not what to do with your life. Well, sounds good. But the Bible is very clear. And the Bible is very plain about what you should do with your life. Do you have any idea the greatest thing that Jesus Christ wants to do with your life? Or what He might want from you? The Bible doesn't teach us self-development. But it does teach us death to self. You can read that clearly, can't you? Now, I know that's not real popular preaching today, but nevertheless, that's what God's Word teaches us. Whether we believe it or not, whether we even receive it or not, it's still what God's Word teaches. Listen to me, church. The church is not set up, never has been set up, to be an old Adam improvement society. That's not what the church was set up to be. If Jesus wants you to die to self, how do you go about it? How does it take place? Paul has the answer in this verse that I read just a short while ago. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet he says, I live. The answer is right here in this verse. And Paul practiced what he preached to others from his life since he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you go about being what God wants you to be? How do you go about doing with your life what God wants you to do with your life? Let's look at Paul's example. Look at Paul's life. He just explains it in a nutshell here in this verse right before us. He begins, first of all, with crucifixion of self. Now, that may come as a shock to a lot of people. May sound just real strange. May be a surprise to many folks. Jesus wants to crucify you. Not physically, of course, but spiritually. And He wants and expects our cooperation in that effort of crucifying self. Listen, look at the process. He wants us to be crucified in our wills. We've been taught, and many times we've been taught wrong, that we're to crucify self. Listen, you don't crucify yourself. Listen to what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. So, beginning, you don't crucify yourself. That's not what Paul said. That's not what he meant. He said we must consent for Jesus Christ to crucify us. And we must be in cooperation with Him with what God wants to do with your life. We can't crucify ourselves, but we must be in cooperation to be crucified by Christ. Here's where most people fail. We don't like the word crucifixion. Crucifixion to self means death to self. And we don't like that. We don't like to hear that because that hurts. And we don't want to be crucified, do we? But that's what God's Word says. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ in my will. But then there's a work that goes on from self. It goes on by the Holy Spirit of God. I promise you this. The work of the Holy Ghost is to crucify us unto Christ Jesus. That old self has to die. And the Holy Spirit works in us to crucify us. Jesus didn't crucify Himself, did He? Wasn't Jesus crucified by others? He had accomplishment and help in that crucifixion, didn't He? If we consent, you can be 100% sure. If you consent to allow Jesus Christ to crucify you, I promise you the work of the Holy Spirit will be at work. Listen, as long as we try to crucify self, as long as we trust in ourselves, we're on a failing mission. God can't do with us, with our life and in our lives, what He wants to do unless we consent to allow Jesus Christ through the Spirit to crucify us. Then a wonderful thing begins to take place in our lives. From Paul's will, self. From the work of the Holy Spirit in Paul, you find Paul's ways changed spiritually. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. When someone's crucified, they die, don't they? Doesn't death take place when Jesus was crucified on the cross? Didn't death take place? Well, Paul said, I'm crucified, but yet I live. Now, that kind of sounds strange, doesn't it? How can you be crucified and live at the same time? How can that be? When we were lost in sin and trespasses, we were dead until we met Jesus, until Jesus saved us. And He came into my life and made that old man anew, made me alive once again. In crucifixion, you see, the old man who was dead in sin and trespasses comes to life just as it was Paul. Paul was a new man. He wasn't Saul anymore. He had a new life. And with us, a new life begins when Jesus Christ comes in, a spiritual life in Christ. We who were dead in sin and trespasses become alive in Christ. Do you realize that's the most worthwhile thing that will ever take place in your life? It's for that old man to die, that old person to die, and a new person to be birthed from above by the Spirit of God through Christ Jesus. Allow Paul to continue. What God wants to do with your life. Crucifixion of self. Then it comes to a cooperation here, or a companionship with the Savior. Paul said, I'm alive in Christ. I came to know Him. And when I got saved, Paul says, I began to live. And Christ lives now in me through crucifixion. How does that become a reality to us today? We can see that in Paul's life. But what about our life? How does that come to pass? When you have a companionship now with Christ Jesus, it begins by, first of all, understanding that Jesus loved me. John 3:16, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world of humanity, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means He loves me. Never forget this. If you leave this place of worship today, if you're viewing us on Facebook, if you hear us on the radio sometimes, don't ever forget the fact, simple fact, that Jesus loves you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your color, doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter what you've done or what you're going to do. Jesus just unconditionally loves you. You can't live without love. You've got to know somebody loves you. And if you forget, the whole world loves you, and they don't. But Jesus does. He loves you. He loved you so much that God the Father sent Him to this world to be crucified on the old rugged cross, shed that royal blood, die on the cross, and resurrect 3 days later from the dead to then make it possible for you and I to trust Him as our Lord and as our Savior. If you ever wonder, beloved, how much does God love me? I've had people try to tell me, I don't let them get away with it, but they try to tell me, well, God doesn't love me. Oh, yes, God does love you. How much do you think God loves you? How are you going to ever know how much God loves you? Just go back and look at Calvary. Look at Jesus' outstretched arms on the cross in dire agony, bleeding and dying for your sins and for mine. And tell me God doesn't love you? Yes, God loves you. Paul said, He loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, the companionship you get when Jesus saves you is that He loves you. But notice this, He laid down His life for you. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Jesus was also crucified. He laid down His life willingly and voluntarily and personally for your sins and for my sins. If you want to know how much He loves you, He laid down His life on Calvary, so that we could have not only abundant life down here, but have everlasting life with Him forever and forever and forever. So you see, when you come to know Jesus and His companionship, it's because He loved you. It's because He laid down His life for you. But Paul said something else. Listen to what he said. I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. Yet the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It means He lives in me. He said Christ lives in me. Do you realize when you got saved, Christ lives in you? By the power and presence of His Holy Spirit of God, He lives in you. At your crucifixion, Jesus came in to live in your life. I want to ask you a question. What better companion could you ever have than Jesus Christ? None. Because at some point in time, all of the earthly companions will sometimes fool you. Sometimes they'll forsake you. Sometimes they'll forget you. But not Jesus. When He becomes your traveling companion, because He loves you, He laid down His life for you, He comes in to live in you, He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Understand that. But I continue, as Paul does, in the conclusion of this matter, and what to do with your life. Let Jesus crucify you. Then he comes in as a companion for the rest of your life forever. And notice something else happened in Paul's life. There comes a commitment to Jesus Christ when he comes in to be your Lord. Now Paul moves to the main reason for becoming a Christian. It's living for Christ. Not living for yourself. Living for Christ. He said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What kind of life is Paul talking about, the life that I now live in the flesh? Well, he's talking about a physical life, and he's talking about a spiritual life. Look first of all at Paul's physical life. There was a time in the life of Saul of Tarsus when he didn't live in the physical life for Jesus. We all know Paul's story, how he left with warrants, we would say today, to go to Damascus to arrest Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem in chains, to be convicted and executed if possible. He hated Jesus Christ. He hated the Christians. He hated the church. Everything about Saul was in the flesh, anti-Christ. That was Paul's former life. But then Saul met Jesus. Nobody ever profaned Jesus more than Paul. Nobody ever persecuted Jesus more than Paul. But then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and everything changed in Paul's life. And look at Paul from Damascus Road till the day he died. Look at that life in the flesh he lived. Everything was about Christ, wasn't it? Everywhere Paul went, he preached Christ. Everywhere he went, he talked about his own testimony, how he was a persecutor, but yet God had mercy upon him and saved him. And now he said, I'm going to live for Jesus till the day I die and forever. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the old physical life that you might once have lived has to die. Listen to me, it has to cease. Now, everything I did as a physical person before I met Jesus doesn't have to be wiped away. But I'm talking about the things that were displeasing to the Lord had to be wiped away. God didn't kill Paul physically. He saved him from his physical self. When God saved you, there should have been a radical change in your life. Everything about your life from the point of your conversion till you see Jesus one day face to face should be living for Christ. My life, you see, doesn't matter. It's all about Him. Not all about me. Listen, it's not all about you. Your self-fulfillment, your self-development, your self-realization, whatever self might be, it's not about you, not about me, it's all about Jesus. And Paul said, now the life that I live physically now, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We must live to please Christ first and foremost in our life. How are you living for Christ? I ask you the question. Have you been living for Christ? Is it all been about Jesus or all been about you? Has He come first or last? Who's first place in your life? Physically, it should be Jesus, shouldn't it? Paul said, that was my old physical life. This is my new one. But he also talked about his spiritual life. How in the world could Paul, Saul of Tarsus, make such a radical change in his life from what he once was to what he now is? How could that take place? How can that take place? Have you not known someone maybe it's happened in your life? When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, that radical change came about. You didn't change your life. Jesus did. Paul didn't change his life. Christ changed his life. How can anyone today do that or have that happen in their life like the Apostle Paul? I tell you, the key to it is faith. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, it's not us, it's Him. All about Jesus. Where are you today in your faith? Where's the key to the change in your life that should have taken place when you got saved? It's a faith that you put into the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Let me give you a little quick formula. If you're trying and you're trusting to make this happen in your own life, listen to me carefully, you're on a mission to failure. You can't do it. You will not be able to do it. You're doomed to try it. It's not by trying yourself. It's not by trusting yourself. It's by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and allowing Him to do through us what it is He wants to do with our life. We've got to be crucified with Christ. That's what you should do with your life. Allow Jesus, cooperate with Him to crucify the old person and make alive the new person. And then you see you get that traveling companion of the Holy Spirit of God in you. You'll have a different look about your will. You want to will what He wills. You want your work to honor and glorify Him. And the work of the Holy Spirit will take place in your life. And then your physical life will be different. A lot of times you won't want to go the same places you used to go. You ought not want to do the same things some of them used to do. You ought not say the same things you ought to say. Not even go with some of the same people you might have used to run around with. Might not want to dress like you used to dress. Amen? You've got to be new. New ways in your life. Your physical life will change radically. And your spiritual life will be like Paul. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God, faith in Him, who gave Himself, loved me enough to go to the cross, and gave Himself for me. I want to ask you in closing today, if you have not cooperated with Christ Jesus in crucifixion, would you do it today? Maybe you're viewing us by Facebook today. Maybe you'll hear us on the radio sometime say this. I want to ask you the same question. Have you been crucified with Christ? That's what He wants from your life. Nothing else will be satisfactory. Paul got it. Paul realized it. And Paul wants us to get it today. That it's all about Him, not about me. That way, you see, He gets all the glory and honor and praise, both now in the physical life and forever from the spiritual life. So, if you ever want to wonder what you ought to do with your life, just give it to Jesus. He knows what to do with it. He'll do what's right. He'll do what's best. You'll be glad that you did, and He'll get the honor, glory, and praise. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for in Christ Jesus, You gave us the privilege to come to Him, to trust Him, not ourselves. And consent and cooperate with Him to allow Him to crucify our old man and remake us brand new. I pray for that one who may be struggling with life today, maybe trying within themselves to be a better person, maybe trying today to rid themselves of some awful habit or some terrible lifestyle they've been trying to live. Lord, they feel frustrated and defeated, and they are. Help them to know that there's victory in that, victory through that, if they'll trust Christ. Allow Him to crucify them, and they'll never regret that they did. And the life that we can all live now in the flesh will please our Lord. We ask that those who may have never come to know Jesus Christ might understand that it's only through Christ who frees us, because Your Word teaches us, Lord, that if the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. How have we come free? Through crucifixion of death, through Christ. Let us know that's a reality in our lives. Help us all to know that's what we ought to do with our lives. And let's do that today. If we haven't done that, let's do it now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today.
Well, thank you for listening. That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church, right here in Concord, North Carolina. We are open for services tomorrow. You can get directions right on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us for live services on Facebook. We live stream at 10:45 Sharon Baptist Concord. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.